right, you primitive screwheads. Listen up.
Guys, we have a code red.
You mean code red the hospital emergency alert, code red the computer worm, or code red the cherry flavored soft drink from Maker's Mountain Dew?
One ring to rule them all.
One ring to find them.
Oh, Jesus. One ring to bring them all.
And in the darkness, find them.
Do you know what the problem is with you kids today? You guys think that all science fiction started in 1977 with Star Wars.
Where's my super suit?
What?
You tell me what I thought is woman!
What about movies like Forbidden Planet, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Solaris? What about Logan's Run? Did you ever see that?
No, it's probably some dumb sports movie anyway.
Sports movie?
Okay, we've got to put a spotlight on this geek stuff, man.
What the fuck are you bitches babbling about?
We need to bring this to the mainstream, to the people.
Wow, this is even better than I imagined.
We have to show the world that it ain't just about comics and toys.
I have to possess this comic.
Hey, I tried to teach you how to handle comics in the sixth grade, but oh no, you wanted to play Little League instead.
Looks like a really rich fourth grader lives here.
Look at this
place, man.
Go look.
He's got a billion toys.
I have a Mego Isis action figure.
Isis.
We're not about dressing up as Green Lantern.
How often does one see a beloved fictional character come to life?
Every year at Comic-Con.
And hoping for that one day, that one fracking day, for Cylons to bring us down to possible space-age future shit.
That's exactly what it's about.
Oh, really? Yeah, this shit ain't gonna work.
Oh, man! I'm still geeking out about it!
All right, look. There's only one return, okay? And it ain't of the king, it's of the Jedi.
Looks like we got more Lucas hounds here to mock Roddenberry.
You'll have to excuse him. He's not down with the trilogy.
There's only one trilogy, you fucking morons.
Oh, Star Wars geek.
Oh, I'm the geek? Look at you two whipping out your preciouses.
I'm gonna kick your ass back to the Shire if you don't shut your fucking mouth.
Where are the stars in this piece of shit?
All right, guys, you have your mission. Go forth and wreak havoc.
I say we stay here and fight it out.
Come on, you fuckers think that just because the guy reads comics he can't...
I'll fucking take all you want. I got a Spider-Man t-shirt. I got Converse down and running off my feet.
Hello.
Well, hello.
I'm waiting for you.
For me?
I had to jump in there.
I know, because again, you feel as though I hesitated way too much. You know, I was making sure the mic's recording. You know, in 341 episodes, we've had a handful of times where they don't record.
That's only been like four or five times.
The lost episodes?
A couple of lost
episodes.
Ask
the Timoney brothers.
All right, so there's probably four episodes that are officially lost, but how many episodes have we had to go back and re-record?
We'll pull away the curtain. Anytime you hear in the first 2 seconds of the show the term déjà vu,
yeah,
it's because probably all or some part of the episode you're about to listen to has been re-recorded.
That's right.
Because that
due to technical failures.
Yes, that's true.
Didn't we pull back that curtain before?
But
I don't know. I feel almost like deja vu.
Oh, see what he did?
But now you're going to confuse him.
See what he did there?
I did. Exactly. I did. I see what he did.
Doing some Matrix shit.
It's not always the case.
All right. Fair enough. But
that's some Wachowski brothers shit right there.
Wachowski siblings.
Siblings. Sorry.
If there's one thing we know about our listeners is that they're not always capable of remembering things. Because we still have to introduce ourselves at the top of every episode.
Not for long.
So, no, not for long. Why not?
I got it.
300, episode 350, changes.
Oh, that's right.
I'm naming it now.
Oh,
changes.
All right, fair enough. Well, then I am OG.
I am Scape Groot.
And I am Big Kev.
I just got why not for long. Took me a second.
I know.
It had a roll downhill,
yep.
But it got to me. And now I get it.
We should also open up by thanking everyone who checked out It's Eric Nagel.
That's right.
That lovely program that we were on Sirius XM.
We had a lot of fun over there, I think.
We did. I do miss the live format a little bit.
It's you know, Eric has been good to me and has asked me in a couple of times, and it's been fun every time. And he's asked us in last week, which is very fun. And that is available online. I'll post the link where you can get that on the YouTube if you
want
to check it out if you're not a serious subscriber.
What you can really tell by listening to a live show like that
is
exactly how often OG screws up and edits himself in this program.
I don't think that's true.
I don't agree with that.
Why would you agree? Because he's just going to edit out what I just said, so it's fine.
Remember what we said? Was it last week or 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, we don't really edit that
I believe
much.
I have a clip of you saying, my shit doesn't suck, doesn't have to be edited.
I might have. It happens.
Sure. That said, you did say it in another century. All right.
There you go.
Just saying.
Fair enough. Well, this is episode 341.
It is.
We are calling it Warriors That Terrify.
Correct.
We're not going to tell you why. You'll figure it out.
And Scapegoat has no reason, and we are not telling him why either.
No. I'm just, don't.
He'll go with it.
Scapegroot.
He'll figure it out in due time. We should also start off this episode by thanking everyone who has continued to donate to our New York Comic Con.
We're very close now.
We do have one more week where you can continue to donate to that. So, of course, if you don't mind, we would appreciate it. And, you know, we are moving forward with making plans. So so that would be awesome.
Where can they do that?
They can go to the website, bigkevsgeekstuff.com, and find the PayPal button in various locations on the site.
Indeed.
And click on that button and check it out.
Or you can buy a very high-priced item at our Amazon affiliate link.
While certainly that is helpful, that is not helpful for this particular cause. But we still encourage you to go to amazon.bigkevsgeekstuff.com and use that as your new Amazon affiliate link for future purchases.
Go for it.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I say that doesn't help us because we don't really get the money fast enough.
Yeah.
To be honest, that's really... It takes like 2 or 3 months for us to get that money.
It does help us in the sense that we need stuff.
Yes, it does help us in the long term outside of our goals for New York Comic Con.
Right.
It just does not help with the short term New York Comic Con.
Indeed.
But let us move forward with the show.
Okay.
Star Wars, because that's probably one of the biggest, a lot happened between last week and this week.
They started filming.
7 days.
A lot of leaked. Did they actually pick back up to filming?
I believe they did.
Okay, because I knew. I thought it was supposed to be this week or early next week, but I wasn't sure the exact.
The rumor was that the crank was turning again. Maybe they went launched a little earlier than they expected.
But we've gotten lots of spoilers, which I really don't want to make a habit of addressing these, but at least one in particular I do kind of want to address, and we can lump the other ones in there since we're talking about it.
Okay.
The one I actually want to talk about is the Stormtrooper helmets that we saw, only because I think that might actually be legit.
We just cannot believe anything.
Of course, but not only did we have an illustrated version of it,
mm-hmm.
we then saw the a finalized sort of rendered version of it, and then actual 3D version of the guys who claim that they made it for the film.
Right.
So that one, at least to me, has a little bit more
truthiness.
Can we talk about it? Has a bit of a Tron feel, doesn't it?
Well, it's definitely a progression, sort of. But it's weird because it actually seems more like a gap filler between Clone Wars and Stormtrooper than a progression of Stormtrooper.
I get that.
Does that make sense? Yeah. So, but I mean, I like them. They're sleek. I still think it's interesting that there's going to be Stormtroopers in the movie.
Well, clearly the Empire isn't vanquished. Clearly. The Empire is massive. So to think that, you know, just because they killed the Emperor and Vader, that the Empire just disappears, that didn't happen in the books.
No, I know.
So it would be foolish for us to think that the Empire is just gone. I mean, there were Stormtroopers scattered throughout all the novels that followed.
Yeah, I don't recall specifically, and so I'm sure someone will correct me. But, you know, I guess when I was reading the books, I always kind of felt like the bits that were left were more like
pockets,
remnants of a great Empire.
Did you think that about the Thrawn trilogy, though?
Was the Empire behind Thrawn?
Thrawn was a Grand Admiral.
Yeah, but wasn't he his own thing?
Empire.
I thought he was his own thing. He kind of was on the outskirts of the Empire.
I thought he just picked up the reins and started running.
I thought he was
be wrong.
What I was getting at was I didn't see him as this cohesive unit that could afford to upgrade their armor and helmets. It was kind of more like, you know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
More like a ragtag remnant, like this is what we have left, so we're going to use it. Kind of deal, as opposed to like an upgraded version of it.
We found a locker, kind of thing. Yeah.
So, but look, I mean, I like the look of it. It is a bit Tronish. It is a bit Macquarie-ish. It is a bit Star Wars-ish.
Well, so that one less hope. Makes sense.
The other rumors or images that are floating out around there, the Han Solo ones, the one on the ice planet, which is not Hoth, apparently.
The costume.
Correct. Yeah. Right. Yeah, the costume. It's it was was it an illustration Correct. For someone who was doing costume design yeah. or pre-production work
yeah.
or something
so
like
it
that.
Looked vaguely reminiscent of the Empire Strikes Back right. costume. And then there was the Han Solo as a brown coat.
Right. Yes. It was, yeah, that, it was kind of a cross between, like, Endor Han Solo and Mal.
Nathan Fillion.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's exactly what it was.
And then the last image that I saw was that Inquisitor guy holding Vader's busted-up
right.
helmet. Because the rumor was that the villains are going to be
an
offshoot of the Inquisitors?
An Inquisitor.
Yeah. Okay.
So it's probably going to be a character. Well, if there's any truth to it, and again, it's so. We got to take it with so much salt.
Most of these rumors come from Latino Review.
Yeah, exactly.
As a disclaimer.
You have to take it with so much salt, that you think that
so
you're
much
at
salsa.
PF Chang's.
Yes.
You've ever eaten there. Ugh. Anyway, the point is that.
More salt than dragon jerky.
Wait for it.
You're too early for the Big Kev Eat Stuff segment. You would almost think, looking at that picture, that can't possibly be the only villain in this thing. And he's vaguely reminiscent, sort of. He looks almost like a robotic version of the Inquisitor that's going to be the villain in Rebels.
He kind of, to me, looks like Clytus's long lost cousin.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, Clytus from Flash Gordon.
Yes,
yes. And he's holding that. And all the rumors say that he's obsessed
with Darth Vader.
With Darth Vader. Yeah. So I mean, that's like interesting.
And it also the rumors also say that we're gonna see Darth Vader via flashback.
Right when Leia is a child.
Well, that'll be interesting.
So what I'm thinking there is, do we have Jimmy Smits?
Could be.
I mean,
we haven't heard, but
that would certainly tie a lot of stuff together.
Sure. No, wait. Is
Jimmy Smith?
Oh, yes,
Bail
yes,
Organa.
Right.
So,
no, I know, but right.
And
okay.
They're going to show Leia as a small child.
Right.
Bail Organa is implied.
Is implied that he would be
especially
there.
If Vader is right. present. So, I mean, I don't think that's unreasonable to think that that could happen.
Right.
I have not heard about James Earl Jones voicing any lines.
I have not heard that either.
So, I mean, who knows what we're going to see, honestly.
He's not too busy doing those Facebook commercials, so I'm sure that he could make some time to do a couple of lines.
Perhaps.
Totes my goats.
Really?
Have you seen that commercial?
Yeah.
The ones with him
and what's his name?
I always forget his
Halloween,
name.
Yes.
The Halloween.
Orange.
I thought those were Sprint commercials.
Are
they Sprint?
Sprint commercials, yeah.
All right, I'm sorry. I thought they were.
He used to do the Verizon
Yeah. commercials. I thought, but I thought it was, so they're texting commercials.
Big
for some reason, I thought it was.
Every day.
Yeah. Speaking of things that started filming or picked back up filming,
uh-huh.
Ant-Man started filming this week.
Yes.
Still got released.
We got our, we did get stills. Anybody commenting on them other than, oh, look, there's an Ant-Man still. I haven't read into it because already I've seen people saying, oh, he looks this, he looks that, he's wearing a fucking hoodie and he's next to some water. Like, it's way too early to make any comment.
Wow, he looks like shit in that hoodie. Fuck yeah. Paul Rudd.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, it's just
the
silly.
Internet.
It's just silly to comment on it. But, I mean, it's good. It's good to know that it's filming.
Paul Rudd sucks.
There you go.
Down with this movie.
Bah to Ant-Man. Bah, I say.
It's Cant-Man.
Oh, look at you.
Boo.
So, yes, that started. And speaking of Marvel Cinematic Universe, I was going to say movies, but not really. We got some more casting for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Ooh.
Adrienne Pilecki, who was in G.I. Joe Retaliation. She was going to be Wonder Woman. In that Wonder Woman movie that failed.
She's also in Friday Night Lights.
She is in also in Friday
awesome.
Night Lights.
Yeah.
She has been cast as Mockingbird for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Interesting.
So that's a good character. Another character that doesn't really have any powers. Kind of a romantic interest for Hawkeye later down the road.
Gee, and what character does she remind you of?
I don't know what character she
Black
reminds
Canary.
Of. Oh, yeah. But
she's a direct pull of Black Canary, like Hawkeye's a direct pull of Green Arrow.
Sans powers. But
she is the
Black Canary
correct.
To Hawkeye's Green Arrow. Absolutely.
Right.
But I'm okay with Adrienne Pilecki. I'm okay with the character of Mockingbird. I like S.H.I.E.L.D., so I'm happy that, you know, we've got some additional casting for that. I think that's going to be good.
Let's hope their pacing's better this season.
Right.
Well, what big movie tie-in do they have? It's going to be Guardians. Avengers 3.
Two, rather.
I'm sorry.
You
Avengers
don't think
2.
Going to start with the Guardians thing?
What?
Well, they do have a be? They have a what you call it?
What oh, they have a Kree.
Yeah.
So,
presumably
it could be.
A Kree.
Presumably they have a Kree, and we still don't know what's going on with Skye's family and how that might tie into something that eventually develops in the
Inhumans
universe.
Skye, I'm breaking it now. Skye.
Yeah.
Is Star-Lord's father.
I don't think that's the case.
You don't know. You don't even know.
All right. I'm just saying, I don't think that's the
Sounds
case.
Sounds believable.
Speaking of Avengers Age of Ultron, Stellan Skarsgård is going to be reprising his role.
Imagine.
As, was it Dr. Eric Selvig?
Selvig.
Yeah. Wasn't he batshit crazy at the end of Avengers, though?
He's batshit crazy. Yeah, and in Thor 2.
Was he in Thor 2? Oh, he was in Thor 2. That's right. Yep. They kind of bring him back to set up the...
Thor 2 is things. Where he was really batshit.
Really batshit
like
crazy.
Like, locked up batshit crazy, yeah, right. And they broke him out. They
busted him out. What else do we have this week? Sharto Copley and Michelle Forbes.
Powers.
Yes, Powers. They have been. He's been cast as the lead in Christian.
Really?
Christian Walker. Do I have an issue with that? He seems not big enough.
He can bulk
to
up.
Be him. I don't know. That character is kind of big.
He's kind of big.
He's like, remember, he was an ex super.
Yeah,
and he's like
John Hamm big.
I even think he's bigger than John Hamm.
But
big.
John Hamm would have been a better choice.
And I like Copley. Like especially I got no problem with him,
especially with Man ending.
Yeah, yeah. But now Powers is going to be on that Sony
PlayStation.
Oh,
right. That's
great.
Sony.
So
network.
No one will ever see it.
It's PlayStation only. Yep.
Awesome.
Is it PlayStation? Oh, that's right. It is PlayStation Network something.
PlayStation
something. It'll
slash illegally online.
It'll make its way to retailer Y at some point.
Retailer Y? I'm unfamiliar with retailer
Y. It always
Y.
makes it to retailer Y eventually.
Of course. Yeah.
There was also some images
retailer,
released.
Why would I pay for this?
There was also some images from the set of Batman vs. Superman this week. And specifically, it was Scoot McNairy. Why is there a guy whose name is actually Scoot? Just saying.
Because his butt itches and he can't scratch it?
Could be. But the images of him on set wearing what looks like green leggings from the knees down, which... It's that, you know, it's that
Aquaman.
Well, no, because Aquaman has been all but confirmed for Jason Momoa. What they're saying is he could end up being the I'm sorry, the green leggings, I should clarify that, are the green
the
screen
CG stuff.
Oh,
so what they're saying, or what the rumor is right now, is that he might potentially be the Flash in the film, because they haven't said who he's going to be. It has been kind of lean towards that he will be a major role.
But what about
we know that there's not a crossover between the TV and the movie universe.
Right there.
And what other character would you might have to do some special CGI on his legs / feet?
Metallo.
A mermaid.
No. Metallo?
Doesn't he have metal legs?
Metallo has metal everything, doesn't he?
I'm just saying. I don't know.
Hence the name?
Yes.
Listen.
I mean, I don't agree with it, but I'm
DC and Warner trying desperately to follow in Marvel's footsteps, and they're not tying into TV. Stupid.
So clearly not their best choice. What do you want me to say?
Stupid.
I only have one more thing, really, that I wanted to bring up in this segment.
Okay.
That's all right. Shaun of the Dead. Simon Pegg and
Nick Frost
are going to be sort of reprising their roles in an upcoming episode of Phineas and Ferb.
Yeah, so you've mentioned that they've had a couple of really good specials. Phineas
they have. This is going to be their third one now.
I guess I should watch these specials.
The Marvel one was really good. The Star Wars one was amazing. And I look forward to this one. The show really overall is not a bad show. Out of all the shows that my son watches that I can really get behind, Phineas and Ferb and Gravity Falls are two really, really funny shows. And I would recommend that our audiences, even without children, check out
What about Adventure Time?
I don't watch Adventure Time yet. And my son doesn't watch it either, so.
Because it's stupid.
I know there are some people that are huge Adventure Time fans. I don't particularly get it.
It is a weird show.
To me, it looks like cosplay the show.
Weird.
cosplay the show.
It does kind of look like that.
It is kind of cosplay right? the show.
It's bizarro world. I don't know. That's all I have, though, in this segment. I mean,
well,
we have a bunch of stuff for segments.
You can check us out each and every week over at Big
Kev. No, not for the show.
Oh.
For the segment.
Oh. Heh.
We
didn't even give out the GVM line yet.
Which is 425-920-6050.
Yep, and you can call and leave a message thereon, and you may hear yourself on an upcoming episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
You may indeed.
Fantastic.
And with that, OG, assuming this episode is still recording, we will take our first break, and we'll be right back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 341, Warriors That Terrify.
Hey, guys. We commented on the Facebook page about Dunn now commenting that Jason is not the father. And OG commented that he thinks it's going to be Black Bolt. I did comment saying I don't think that's probable, since in the movie they said that his father came from some species or something that was ancient. Also commented about the High Evolutionary. I was just wondering how OG would have thought that Black Bolt would have picked up an Earth Woman, since his voice would have exploded her body. And your other guy's theories of who might the father be, I was thinking maybe it was one of the other Titans, since, you know, they have talked about Thanos as the Mad Titan. Maybe it's one of his siblings or another person from there. Can't possibly be seeing it as like a Shi'ar or something, or has to be some sort of other humanoid. All right, look forward to hearing the show. See you guys later.
And we are back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 341, Warriors That Terrify.
Scapegroat still confused about what that means.
Yeah, and that's quite all right.
It'll all be made clear to you in time.
Of course, during the break just now, we had a lovely voicemail. I did not get his name, though.
He
kind of mumbled through the
name,
and then he said he posted something on Facebook, so I probably could go and look that up, but I'm far too lazy. So we're just going to address you as voicemailer guy.
Voicemailer guy.
Yeah, voicemailer guy.
We had a couple of questions.
Not from that particular place in the Midwest.
No. He had a couple of questions.
He did. You should call him Mumbler.
First off was, how did I think that Black Bolt could get a...
he mentioned a few things that I guess... Did you mention the High Evolutionary last week?
I don't remember. Because I don't know what the High Evolutionary is.
I think in... I think we talked about him in conjunction with Rocket's creation.
Oh yes, we did.
Yeah,
that's right. And Adam and Warlock, right?
Because
High Evolutionary created Warlock,
something like that.
Yeah, okay. Yes, we did talk about that.
And the answer and the question was right. How did Black Bolt? If you think Black Bolt's the father, how did he pick up an Earth Woman? Considering opening his mouth would shatter her brain.
Dry erase board.
Really?
Yep. Hey, bitch, want to make out?
I thought it would have been more like, well, how did God pick up Mary in order to make... Is Star-Lord the Jesus of the Marvel Universe?
Black Bolt has wingmen.
Is that what
wow.
it is? Hey, my mute buddy over
my
here.
Mute buddy over here. He's the king of a people.
Yeah, that's
you
what
want some?
Yo, check out the king, baby. He ain't going to say nothing.
Yo,
to
he
you.
Don't say nothing, but he'll blow you away.
Don't think for a second that he is not enjoying what you're doing.
That's right.
Just because he doesn't make any sounds, but I'm just saying.
That's right.
And then he said he thinks maybe one of the other Titans, did he say? Like,
he did. He said Thanos is the Mad Titan. What about some of the
of
other
Thanos?
Titans?
I don't think they would use such an obscure character to father.
Not only that, but was Thanos the only Titan that was sort of large and in charge?
Well, no, I don't think. Well, maybe.
Do you know what I'm getting
at?
Like, I would think the other Titans would be sort of large for an Earth
Woman.
Well,
I think the idea here, well.
Just putting it out there. I mean, talk about blowing her up or making her explode.
You don't even know.
You know.
Maybe they got a little.
The only way you can fuck an Earth Woman is by using a kryptonite condom.
Okay.
That would kill him.
All right.
Holy shit.
All right. The foul language. What is this? What is
Mall
this?
Rats. That's what it is.
I don't know. I don't know about a Titan or even a celestial or anything. Yeah. I don't. I still think that even Gunn saying it's not Jason, I have to believe, I think they're going in the direction of him having some sort of royal affiliated birth.
Well, what he does make one really good point. Voicemailer does make one really good point, and that is in the film they do say
Mumbler.
They do say the Mumbler. They do say that something about a species they haven't seen in quite a long time or something. So it does give you an indication that it's got to be something ancient or unique or different, but
And then he speculated, or he said rather that we should speculate on another, you know, human type being that could be his father.
Yeah,
I say Corsair. Corsair is a fuck you to Fox because it's an X-Men character.
Bring the Starjammers in. It's possible. Right.
I mean, why not bring the Starjammers in?
But how old is? Yeah, no, I guess age wise that would
work.
And
the Starjammers, by the by.
Yeah.
Just really another version of the Guardians of the Galaxy.
Who else was in the Starjammers? Because quite honestly, outside of Corsair,
the Skunk Woman.
Oh yeah, okay.
Right? Who was some kind of, wasn't she like some mercenary assassin? Yeah. Aren't they all?
She was Gamora.
What's his name? The dude with the red hair, like half a robotic face.
Yeah.
And like he had armor and a big sword. Remember? Okay. He had like orangey skin.
Yep, Drax.
Right? Oh, yeah, Drax. It could Gamora, be Drax. Yeah. And then was it, and I know I'm going to get it for this. Is it Chode? Chode. Yeah. The big green lizard-like creature. But he had that little white furry dude
on
always
his back.
With him.
Yeah, Rocket and Groot.
Yeah, I mean, it is just another version of the same.
All right.
I mean, I think it would be kind of funny to play them off against each other. You know,
but
like...
But wasn't Corsair just a human, though? What was Corsair?
Yeah, Corsair's just a human.
So that wouldn't be a race that is ancient. Unless in the Guardians universe, the humans are ancient.
Well, or unless they're just going to make Corsair another race.
Okay.
Corsair, by the way, Cyclops' father.
Oh, no, yeah.
And
yeah,
Havoc, for that matter. So, like, I think that would be a huge fuck you to Fox.
Yeah.
Plus, I think it would be really funny to have almost those two identical groups facing off against each other, but really have the Starjammers turn out to be the bad guys for some reason. And I just think that would be funny.
And it would kind of make sense with the Yondu storyline, because Corsair getting Yondu to round him up, you know, it's kind of like... Bounty hunters putting a bounty, you know, bounty hunters communicating with bounty hunters, you know
right.
what I mean? It's scum of the earth. Not that
space
Corsair
pirates.
Was scum, but he was kind of space pirate. You know.
Corsair was kind of scummy.
Scummy, right? But
swashbuckler scummy.
Yeah. Swashbuckler, yeah. So it could be.
I think that would be
an interesting choice. They would have to obviously tweak Corsair, but it would be an interesting choice.
I just think it would be really funny again because they are clearly clones of each other, however you dress it up. And to have them, I just think that shot of like, you know, the Guardians of the Galaxy standing on the one side and them standing on the other side, but they're opposing characters.
Right.
Yeah, like Marvel did that shit all the time.
Of course. Yeah, I could kind of picture like a cover.
Yeah, exactly.
In my head almost.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, you know, and in the very foreground, Star-Lord and Corsair.
All 72 holographic variants.
Exactly. Yeah.
You can draw your own also.
Lenticular.
Yeah.
Holographic lenticular.
So I apologize.
Glow in the dark foil. Prismatic foil.
Yeah.
So Scapegoat, with your limited comic book knowledge,
yes,
are you familiar? Well, he would admit that it's limited.
I would definitely admit that.
Were you familiar with the Starjammers prior to this conversation?
Yeah, definitely. I think I.
It's that time of the night. We turn on the black light. Let the Dungeons and the Dragons begin. It's D&D.
Geekstuff's D&D update.
Yeah. That's what I like to do.
Wait a minute, what the fuck just happened?
That's right. I cut your ass off.
Well, why the fuck would you ask me a question and let me answer the fucking question?
Because I don't care about your answer.
That is the D&D intro music.
What the fuck just happened?
I'm the people's OG.
Everything old is new again.
That's right.
People's OG.
So that, of course,
the
D&D.
Is that the Malcolm X answer?
Yes.
This is the D&D update.
This is the D&D update.
As soon as OG stops gloating over the fact that the bit is no longer about him.
I only get to pull the wool over on other people's eyes once in a while. I got to take advantage of these moments.
Yes, and this is the inaugural, I'd like to say, of what is going to be many brand new D&D updates as we enter the fifth edition.
That's right.
Of D&D. I'm going to actually let OG for unbox this.
The fifth edition, or as I like to call it, based on what I've heard from other people, 2.5.1.
Yeah, I hear, well, not a lot of five from what I hear.
No, but they if you remember, there was 2.0 and then there was 2.5.
Right. No, that was 3.
Oh, was it 3 and then 3.5?
2 is the one that we used to play.
Yes.
3 is the one that followed. 3.5 was like, okay, we know we screwed up a little. 4 was the one that we did the D&D segment for like, what, 2 or 3 years?
Right.
And now we are entering what they seem to think is the definitive version, and I would tend to agree with them just based on what I've read so far.
I have one complaint already.
Wow. Can we just get through the introduction?
Sure.
Before you start minimalizing. All right. So what? What was your thing? Now you've thrown
Look at the dice that comes with it. It's far too fancy.
You mean there's no crayon?
There's no crayon.
No blank dice.
There's no blank dice.
They are nice dice.
They are actually really nice dice. But and part of me really wanted them to just be like solid orange, light blue.
Uh-huh. Just a variety.
Red maybe to change it up a little bit.
I like that they match. Let's talk about the D&D starter set. Going to run you, I think it runs about $20 or
$19.99, unless you're in Canada.
Is that the SRP?
That is the SRP.
And let's talk about, OG, let's talk about what's in there. So we've established a beautiful set. We got blue. I wonder if everybody gets blue.
I believe blue is what they show on the box.
Oh, so maybe everybody gets blue? All right, so it's a 20-side, a 12-side, a 10-side, 8-side, a 4-side, and a 6-sided die, a beautiful set of dice. Check those out, Scape Groot. I know you've never seen dice before. And also inside, you get the starter set rule book. Now, this is very interesting because this is sort of your basic rules for the fifth edition of D&D. How to play, how combat works, how adventuring works, spell casting, and then there's an appendix on conditions, which I think is great that they're actually playing that up this time. Let's talk about a couple of things. One, let's talk about the fact that if you just want to read the starter set rule book,
right?
So for people who are like, do I have to have the starter set to play? You should get the starter set. Why? Because there's a whole bunch of great stuff in the starter set, like dice and the other things we're going to discuss. So, of course, you should. But if you go to, I think it's dnd.com. Help me out, OG. I think it's on the box. On your part of the box there.
Dungeonsanddragons.com.
Right. Dungeonsanddragons.com. You can actually get a PDF version of the very, very, very basic rules that come in this set. I think that's awesome. I think that is Wizards saying, we want everyone to play D&D. We want everyone to have these basic rules available. And we also recognize that we are in the 21st century where computers and internet and blogs and message boards and those kind of things can affect everything that you do, especially stuff like D&D and how you communicate with other players, share information, and so on and so forth. So I think that's a really... I think that's a really class act for them to put that out so that people can... What?
It's got that,
that new smell?
It's got that D&D smell. You would not know.
Yeah,
D&D,
I know.
D&D like, has its own smell.
It does. The D&D rulebook, I have this... You get that nostalgia thing to it? There's just something... They've always smelt the same way. I don't know if it's the way it's...
So just so you know, the Warhammer 40K book also smells the same way.
Is it the same way?
Yep.
All right. It's but
maybe
it's
a rule book thing.
Maybe it's a good smell though. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. No, nostalgia just took over.
I just wanted to say that in the 21st century, I think it's great that in addition to putting out this great set, which you should definitely check out, definitely get. What's that?
There's an owl bear.
Yes, sir.
Owl bears.
What the fuck?
Hang on, you're in for the ride of your life, Scape Brute. It's not I think it's really great, again, that they've put out a PDF of these basic rules.
Let's just quickly say what else is in this box.
Yeah, let's.
And then I want to talk about some of the stuff.
Slowly say it.
Actually, you know what? You just mentioned the starter rulebook, 32-page rulebook for playing characters levels 1 through 5. And then in addition to that, you get a 64-page adventure book, The Lost Mines of Phendelver, with everything the Dungeon Master needs to get you started. Now, so this is a complete campaign. And it says in the beginning that it should take your characters through level 5. It actually definitively says that your characters will advance to level 5. And to that I say, if you have a kind and gentle DM.
No one playing with me should...
Because I've done these campaigns where they're like, you should advance approximately 6 levels during the course of this campaign. And I've advanced like 2.
Yep.
I'm like, fuck you and everybody else.
It happens. It's just like those games online when you don't go back and find all the extra hidden bits. It's the same game.
But let me tell you what is missing from The Lost Mine of Phendelver.
Okay.
Shade Dragon. Just
saying. Give him some time.
It's not in here.
Give him some time.
It should be included in all starter sets.
Right. I want to talk
always.
I want to talk about one thing that a lot of people are talking about. It's called advantage and disadvantage.
Oh, I see the Stonehill in though.
Have you heard about this?
No.
Sometimes, I'm going to read it right from the rules. Sometimes a special ability or spell tells you that you have an advantage or a disadvantage on a d20 roll. When that happens, you roll a second d20 when you make the roll, use the higher of the two rolls if you have an advantage, and a lower roll if you have a disadvantage. For example, if you have a disadvantage on a roll 17 and a 5, you use the 5. If you instead have an advantage and roll those numbers, use the 17.
Well, that's a thing.
So let's use a random example. Now I don't have one that I have researched out yet. So let me give you a random one that kind of makes the point.
Okay.
Let's say you are wicked intelligent, like your intelligence is very high.
Yeah.
Right. This gives you an advantage on magic missile spells.
Right.
Right? When you have an advantage on magic missile spells, instead of rolling 1d20 when you're making an attack,
you roll two,
and you get the higher of the two.
Okay. That's cool.
Likewise, let's say you're an idiot.
Right.
And you have the magic missile spell.
Right.
And you have a disadvantage as a result.
That's right.
You roll 2d20s.
Right.
And you take the lower.
And likely hit yourself in the foot.
Or a tree.
Or a tree. Hey, look, I only cast magic armor on that tree once.
One time.
Once.
And it was so long ago that we still talk about it now. What else is in that
box? In addition to everything else we've just mentioned, along with your adventure, it also comes with 5 prefabricated character sheets.
Wow.
So you have a level 1 fighter human. A high elf, level 1 high elf wizard.
Yeah, man.
Level 1 lightfoot halfling rogue.
Halflings are back.
Level 1 hill dwarf cleric. And a level 1 human fighter. Oh, that's interesting.
What?
2 fighters.
Hmm.
Fighter, wizard, rogue, cleric. What's missing out of the base? Isn't there another
magic
base?
User.
It's wizard, I'm assuming.
Oh, yeah. Wizard, thief,
rogue. Bard.
Bard wouldn't be basic.
I feel as though there's
cleric?
Another... No clerics in there, too? I don't know.
I don't think you're missing anything.
I feel as though let's
remember the cartoon. Thief, acrobat. Acrobat? No, that wasn't in that edition. Thief, fighter, magic user, cleric.
I don't know. I'll have to look.
I don't think we're missing. Paladin, but that's like offshoot.
One thing I have to say is I hope that...
Monk?
I kind of feel like some of the later editions, but that's priest and cleric.
I know, yeah.
Same as druid is somewhere in there too.
Yeah.
You know? I kind of feel like some of the later editions of D&D got a little confusing with some of their classes.
They did.
Like there was the wizard, remember? And in addition to the wizard, there was the...
Super wizard.
No. It was... it was like a mage or something like that.
Right.
And one had inherent... magical abilities, and one had learned magic.
Yeah.
That got too confusing. The other thing that came with this is...
Mudblood.
Player sheets.
Oh, they do? Oh, they give you a blank one?
But here's... Yeah, player sheets. What okay. No, I was going to say the player sheets for the pre-gen characters are two-sided, but the second side is really just
about the character.
Yeah,
right?
It's just background
so
material.
So you're presumed to photocopy.
Yes.
And you do play this game with paper and pencil,
that's right.
Scape Grid, so I don't know how well you're going to do. But you would presumably you would photocopy this sheet and then use them to create your characters for the game.
You don't have to play with paper and pencil. You could play with random dice generators.
I'm just saying, I think the idea here is that a little bit back to paper is what I'm saying.
I'm glad that we're talking about this because it gets me back into gaming a bit. And well, do you have more you want to say about this? Because I wanted to move on sort of.
No, I just want to say again that I think it's an awesome starter set. I'm really excited. I've started reading the rules. It reminds me a lot, OG. A lot. Of second edition,
which I liked,
and not a lot of fourth edition, which I liked the content of fourth edition.
What
I didn't like was the sort of gameplay as much.
It got confusing.
Well, it felt a little bit like we're trying to be like a video game, and we're trying to be, you know, it was a little like Pathfinder. I think that's a criticism.
I think
a lot
fourth
of people
edition
laid on it.
Even made rule Nazis crazy because there were just so many.
But the content stuff
Eberron.
That came out.
We got Eberron.
That was great.
So that alone was,
that was
worthwhile.
Did you see what else is gone from this?
No.
Comeliness.
Oh, really?
Yep. It's back to just charisma.
See, but I'm okay with that. I liked charisma.
I like comeliness, man.
Yeah.
When you had that.
Because you wanted that one really ugly fucker in your party.
What I was going to say was, because what are you going to do with that six?
Right.
That's what I was going to say.
It was like. It's like, oh,
I need strength and intelligence, and damn it, what the hell am I? I guess I'm ugly.
Yeah, my choices are, all right, half-wit fighter, or really ugly wizard,
really ugly powerful wizard.
That's right. Dude, that wizard's just gonna cast illusions on its face.
I was gonna say, you buy like a mask.
Yeah.
The Masked Wizard.
Phantom of the Shady Dragon Inn. That's what I'm talking about. The fucking hangs out in the basement kind of character.
Well, it's the, just to reiterate, this is the D&D, Dungeons & Dragons, the brand new starter set, 64-page adventure book, 32-page rule book for characters levels 1 through 5, 5 pre-gen characters, 6 game dice. Check out more over at dungeonsanddragons.com. Is that what it said on
yep.
here? Dungeons and Dragons, all spelled out, .com. I can't believe that there's not a shorter version of that, but okay. Check out this set, $19.99, according to OG, and the box is the suggested retail price
right,
for this
unless you're in
product.
Canada.
You can check out the rules online as well in a PDF form, which I think is balls. Good,
sure.
Good job, Wizard. I am very excited to start talking more about 5th edition Dungeons & Dragons, and that is our D&D update for the week.
It's D&D! Warriors that terrify. It's D&D!
Wow, I forgot how that bit ended right up until I did it. You're staring at me, and I was like, oh, crap, the end. How did the end go?
There's a bit here. I'm glad that we're talking about D&D again, because it kind of gets me back into wanting to talk about other gaming things.
Yep.
And one of our listeners, Blue Healer, actually, I guess he was out at GamesCon or Gen Con this past weekend.
Blue Healer is about to die.
And
doesn't Blue Healer sound like a dog breed?
I think, actually, it's supposed to be.
Blue Healer from what was that video game? Oh, wait. They didn't have healers in that game, did they?
No, I believe it's a dog.
Okay. You know what game I'm talking about?
I don't.
What was that arcade game? It was like Dungeons and Dragons, but it was like a...
Oh, you're talking about like Gauntlet?
Gauntlet!
Yeah.
Blue Healer is about to die.
But Blue Healer pointed out to me a company that's doing minis, right? And you're like, all right, everybody does minis, so what's the big deal? They're really cool minis. But more importantly than the minis that they're putting out, they have these... pop-up terrain and like game pieces. So like, you know, they kind of fold and then you pop open and it's like a little ridge or a little building or like a little foresty thing.
Uh-huh.
They look really, really cool. And And, you know, one of the problems I recall from back in the day when I had boxes and boxes of it was Terrain took up far too much space and was really a hassle to lug around with you to your game sessions. If you weren't playing at your own house and you were playing someplace.
That's why we never used minis.
I know, but minis really do
come in handy. I totally agree.
Look, we used pennies, colored pennies that we would color in with Sharpies and paint. For a while, because everything, you know, pennies were easy. But if you wanted to use, if you
just
wanted
graph paper,
yeah. Well, no, but we would put the pennies on the graph. But anyway,
I remember.
But so the company is called, and I want to try to reach out to them. Stonehaven Mini is the company.
Okay,
but they have these awesome pop up terrains, and I kind of want to play a game with them.
Okay,
I hate when D&D stuff comes out because the first thing I'm thinking to myself as you're talking about it is like, I probably should go to Amazon and get those books tonight.
You should,
and then, but yeah, but the problem is.
And you can use our affiliate link to do that.
With myself. Is that I'll end up buying the books. I'll end up reading the books. And then I just...
What?
Timing will prevent me from being able to play the game.
No. You just have to make a... No. This is serious now. We... Scape Groot has never played...
It's true.
D&D.
Yep.
So we have to make a commitment. I don't care if it's once a month.
Okay.
We have to make a commitment.
All right.
To get a game together. We have... what's his name? From Sluggy Freelance?
Yeah. Pete Abrams
from Sluggy Freelance wants to play... we have some other interested parties who are looking to play. We just have to fucking sit down and do it.
All right.
Scape Groot has the interesting idea of like filming us playing or taping us playing and maybe, you know, pulling some highlights off of there.
That'd be fun.
Which I think is a great idea.
Sure.
So, yeah, I think we definitely should do that.
All right. Because
the first time Scape Groot fucks up Royal in D&D, I want that shit recorded.
All right.
So that the world can know.
There's got to be. See, now my brain is thinking about how do we make it interactive, and I have some ideas. But we'll get. Okay. We'll talk about those at a later
housekeeping.
Date. Let's talk about some comic books. I don't actually have anything that came out this week, but I want to talk about three things in particular.
Okay.
First, Rat Queens. I'm up to date now on Rat Queens. I've read all the issues of that book. If you're not reading that book, you need to read that book. It's like, what if Quentin Tarantino did a comic book about high fantasy?
That's a good pitch.
Okay.
It's very, just, you have to check it out. It's very cool.
Who puts it out?
I believe it's IDW, maybe?
Really?
I think. It's trades? Definitely an independent
trades
company.
Trades yet? Trades?
The first trade just come out. It collects the first six issues.
Okay.
But issue 7, I think, is the most recent issue.
All right. I will, I'll see about that.
Quickly, Guardians of the Galaxy is doing something that I don't like when they do. And when I say they, I mean movies.
Guardians of the Galaxy is
The comic book.
Oh.
Sorry, not the movie. Games, movies, etc. They're going to be digging deeper into and revealing the origin of a very prominent Marvel character who up till this point, his origin has remained a mystery. And that is Venom, the symbiote that is Venom.
Ugh.
So Flash Thompson is now a member of, not Gordon, is now a member of the Guardians of the Galaxy.
Awful.
It's not bad. It's okay.
No, it's awful.
But the story is going to go to the home planet of the symbiotes.
Cool. Will it kill them? Will it kill Venom? Yeah, because that would be the only positive outcome of
Figure
a story
out a way to bring
like
back
that.
Eddie Brock. the only real Venom. And but I don't like, you know, some characters you don't need their, you don't need it. You don't need Yoda's full background. You don't need the Joker's full origin. You don't need Venom's full origin.
I like the Joker's origin.
Yeah, but he's got like four. None of them are confirmed.
He said one.
No, he does not.
Sure it is. The Red Hood one is absolutely confirmed.
I don't think that is the case.
Killing Joke is absolutely, absolutely.
It was. We are now in the New 52. I don't
think that's changed. No. Even outside of the New 52. I don't know that is confirmed. That
absolutely.
Is the confirmed origin.
Absolutely. Killing Joke is absolutely his origin.
If you think you know the true origin of the Joker, you can give us a call at the GVM line.
425-920-6050.
And let us know what you think is the true origin. But I don't think that Killing Joke was definitive.
You really want to go up against me on Joker trivia?
I believe that his true origin has never been revealed. That there are multiple origins that he kind of talks about, but it's never been revealed.
Killing Joke is the Red Hood story, which is his origin.
Okay, I dispute that.
I thought they later retconned that to not necessarily be his origin.
Nope.
I am disputing that.
If they did, I don't know where they did it.
I'm saying that by New 52, not because I'm...
I'm not even saying by New 52. I'm saying in pre-New 52,
that was
I don't believe Killing Joke was his confirmed origin. Someone out there will know, and we'll call us out.
See, there was this gangster, and his name was Jack Napier.
Let's move on.
And he was in the Axis Chemical Factory.
All right,
and they were fighting Batman, and he fell into a vat of green chemicals.
The all new X-Men from the Marvel Now universe are going to be crossing over into the Ultimate Universe in a story that no one gives a shit about.
In what ultimately could be called horseshit.
Yeah. So Agent Smith pointed this story out to me today on the Twitter, and I think his comment was, "When are they just going to get rid of the Ultimate Universe and bring all those characters over to 616?" 616, of course, being the proper Marvel universe.
The finishing move of Rey Mysterio. So,
I think it's 6. Is it 616? I think it's 616.
I think it's 616.
Yeah, I don't care about them going to the Ultimate Universe. I haven't cared about the Ultimate Universe since about a year after the Ultimate Universe launched. I to me, it's just another gimmick.
Wasn't the Ultimate Universe a way to just sell a bunch of other number ones?
Yes.
Yes. And reboot.
For the 90s.
And reboot the characters. Mm-hmm. What I liked about it was I thought it was a really good reboot when it first started. But
then it kind
of just fell off at some point. Like the first run of the Ultimates, I thought it was pretty good. The first run of Ultimate Spider-Man I thought was good. The first run of Ultimate X-Men was really good. But then it's just started getting
ridiculous.
Crazy, and it just, I don't know. I think it lost its focus.
Yep.
I couldn't get into Miles Morales, the new Ultimate Spider-Man. I don't care. I care more about Spider-Man 2099. What does that tell you?
So I have no idea. It tells me a lot, but nothing that's good.
Yeah, in this story that's going to be starting out, I guess later this year, issue 31 maybe of the all-new X-Men, the now time displaced X-Men, which is the original Jean Grey, Iceman, Beast, and Angel,
right?
Because Cyclops has left the team, by the way, in that book, and has gone off with Corsair, by the way, in that book. If you're not reading,
now is it the old
Cyclops?
Old Cyclops
went off with Corsair.
Corsair,
and is no longer part of the all-new X-Men.
New is he or isn't he bad Cyclops, or the current Cyclops is
bad Cyclops?
Right,
right.
He's still around.
And they are going to be scattered across the Ultimate Universe, where they will have to find their way back to each other if they want to have any hope of getting back home to the regular universe. That's how I feel.
Really?
And yeah. No one cares.
That's how I feel. So there you go. There's your comic.
It's very exciting when you take a time-displaced team and then add a few people and then time-displace them again. You know what you call that? The Exiles.
Bad writing.
And you know what? Don't do that to the Exiles.
No, the Exiles is awesome.
Don't do, because the Exiles was a good book.
It's the same fucking same fucking premise.
Except that the Exiles was a good book.
I just think it's...
Did you not like the Exiles?
I did.
Blank?
I liked Morph, it in the beginning. But at the end, it got convoluted as shit at the end. Just like the Marvel Universe.
Yeah, okay,
and this, particularly the X-Men books are again becoming
when it first launched,
convoluted.
Though, it was a great book when it first launched.
I said that.
All right. I think we can move forward.
Yeah.
With some product.
Sure.
We have, two things tonight?
Yeah.
We'll talk about mine first real quick.
Sure.
This is not the Loot Crate exclusive, but this is the regular Funko Pop Groot. These are very hard to come by right now if you're not lucky. I was fortunate enough to get one from Portal Comics in Bethlehem, PA. So if you're local to that area, check them out. I will post
Portal.
The link to that online.
Portal, you say?
But in the Funko style, of course, this is the Groot figure. Really, the reason I got this, other than the fact that I love Groot, is because now I want a Mystery Mini Rocket,
right,
to display with it.
Yeah,
I think it'll make a nice little set. Of course, I did mention the Loot Crate version, which was just a glow in the dark version and an exclusive box. I don't need glow in the dark because I don't see shit in the dark because I'm not in here when the lights are off.
Sure, you're not.
And I don't need an exclusive box because I open my shit. So there you go.
Wow.
It's true.
Wow. He fires out, "I'm not a poser." That's what he fires out.
And then Funko. And I don't know if we're allowed to say where we got this. I don't know if it's officially been announced because I'm kind of behind a little bit. But did you see the email from our ubiquitous clandestine informant with the Funko Serenity and Firefly figures?
No.
Oh, my God. I want Wash.
Really?
This little Funko Pop Wash with the... What?
You just said
that. Yes, I know. With the little dinosaurs in his
said
hands.
What?
And then there's little Jane. They're adorable. I have to have them.
Wait, you...
Uh-huh. I have to have them.
But...
One bit per show.
No, it's not one bit per show.
Sure it is. We brought back D&D.
It's not one bit per show.
Absolutely.
Shouldn't the goal always be 8-bit?
Should never be 8-bit.
So I don't understand. Where are these ones from?
They're Funko.
Yes.
We got an email from one of our...
What's the license, though?
Serenity.
It's from, they're from the movie.
I believe so.
They're not in any way related to the TV show.
They might be.
Which TV show?
The one that Serenity was based on.
It's too late. It's too late. You missed it. It's
unbelievable.
It's your fault.
You're a
from
bit killer. That's what you are.
Bit killer!
I don't understand. You finally get the bit to flip off of somebody else, but the bit that's on you, that one you ignore.
Of course I ignore it. I want a reprieve.
Right. My shit don't suck. Don't have to be edited. Right. Because then he just doesn't do the bit. So then it doesn't have to be edited.
I'm just saying. No
you,
one needs to hear the Firefly...
Ha!
There, you happy? Theme song. Let's move forward. We have other product.
Sure.
What do you have? You have something.
Yeah, so this is from our lovely friends at ThinkGeek.
Yes.
Oh, ThinkGeek.
ThinkGeek.com. Purveyors of fine products.
Geeky stuff.
It is fine products.
So these are the Portal bookends. From Portal 2, because there's a difference between the first one and the second one, I guess.
There were so many unanswered questions.
Well, Portal 2 is an awesome game.
It is an awesome game.
Did you play Portal 2?
I did play Portal 2.
I didn't play it.
Really, really funny and awesome, and it's
and
like,
somehow no plan for Portal 3? Is that correct?
Yeah, they don't want to make a game for no reason just to have a sequel of a game everyone liked.
That's a stupid reason.
I respect that reason.
No.
Yeah, if you play on the PC version.
Do you honestly think there's no new story to tell?
No, I think there is a new story to tell. They're saying that once we once we are really confident in that story, we'll make it. Until then, we're not just going to release.
Oh, no. Okay, no, that I agree with. No, what I had heard was
no, we're never doing.
Oh, see what I thought I had heard was that they had no plans and they weren't going to pursue it.
They don't have plans unless they are captivated by
the story. Oh, well then no, I'm fine with that. Don't make a game just for the sake of making a game.
Yeah, that's what they're saying.
Yeah, no, I'm fine with that.
I'm okay with that, but it's Valve, so you never know.
Yeah,
never know what they're not good at threes.
Right, they might go away tomorrow.
We've learned that they're not good at threes.
Right.
But yeah.
But anyway, so from ThinkGeek.
Yes. So these are bookends. So the idea is you have an orange and a blue end, right?
Right.
And basically the little logo of the game, right? Jumping through the play Think with Portals. The ass end is the orange portal.
Uh-huh.
And the front end, if you will, is the blue portal. So you would put those around your books, thereby the illusion
of going through
portals, which
those
is pretty
are
cool.
Amazing.
So if you read it all, if you still read physical copies of books,
right.
This is a great way to organize.
Everybody
organize
reads
those
physical
things.
Copies of books.
At minimum, listeners of this show probably have a couple trades.
Yeah, exactly.
That's true. Definitely use them for your trades,
right?
At least.
There
you
go.
But they're very cool and very geeky, and they look very supportive.
They're very metal too. They're like solid, right?
That's
these are
laser cut,
laser etched.
They're laser etched metal. They are, of course.
Can we get a price on those?
I don't recall if in the game,
yep.
did the logo have that guy on the bathroom sign feel to it?
Yep.
It did, okay.
Yeah, and if you actually watch, they have a...
guy on the bathroom.
That's
you know what I'm talking about, though, right?
And when they show the... anytime they show, like, this is the mechanic in the game, they have those adorable animated things with the little guys. Yeah, that's the style for that.
I guess for some reason I thought they were less flat.
Bathroom sign?
No, I thought they were less flat.
Those are 3D animated.
Really?
Yeah.
They get 3D animated in Portal 2 when they're explaining, like, the funnels and all that science stuff. Those are awesome. That's fucking hilarious.
It's a great game.
Hilarious game. Still a really good story.
Yeah.
If you have not played Portal or Portal 2, go get them. They're really cheap, and you can play them
on... I was going to say, you get them for cheap now.
Yeah, you can get them real cheap on Steam if you have a PC or Mac. And there's, I believe, still the Xbox 360 and
PS3
versions
and
all that stuff. So really fun game. Really cool little product. So if you got some trades, you got some mini physical media, check them out. ThinkGeek. How much are they?
Yeah, they're $29.99
right. Okay.
Over at ThinkGeek.com. They are currently in stock.
Yes.
Cool.
So
but they may not be for long. Pretty popular.
Check those out over at ThinkGeek.com. Bookends for test subjects in Aperture Labs. Made of shiny and durable aluminum. Feature a subject going into and out of a porthole.
Aluminium.
Let's see if there's any other officially licensed product made of shiny durable aluminum. 4 inch by 5 2¼ inches. I mean, it's a great size. They look really great with books. Yeah, so definitely check those out over at thinkgeek.com. ThinkGeek has all sorts of stuff for you to check out over at the website, and you should definitely do that. Don't mess those up, OG.
I'm not messing them up.
And once again, we want to thank ThinkGeek for giving us so much great stuff to talk about here on Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
I was just thinking, like, if you had a, you know, a hacksaw,
yep,
you cut off the black part of the bookend and, like, put it, sandwich it on opposite ends of a wall. If you don't have books, is what I'm saying. Yeah, you could use it for other,
there are other ways.
Things. Yeah.
That's clever,
but very cool.
Yeah.
We're going to do this. This is how we're ending the show.
I think that's how we should end the show.
All right. All right. So who is the, do we know the listener? That
yeah, Scott E. I believe it's.
Scotty?
At YMNCA or INCA on Twitter. He was the guy who muled for me my Ivy Lee Scott Tolleson statue, which maybe we'll talk about next week.
We should open by saying that this is the Big Kev Eats Stuff.
That's right. Portion of tonight's episode.
Portion of tonight's episode. We don't have an opener yet. We're working on that.
But he did send us something as a contribution to this segment.
Yeah, it looks like it was part of a loot crate at one point.
Looks like it went bad. It's really...
It really does look vile. It's, good night, it's called guy. Mikey's Dragon Jerky Beef Jerky. And then it says Fuss Row Yum.
All right.
Which I don't understand. And I guess we're all going to eat a piece of this. Do you know the last time we tasted something on this program, it didn't go very well.
Was that Nanodox?
That would be the Nanodox.
With the aversion technology?
I wonder if this jerky has aversion technology. All right, so it looks kind of like strips of beef jerky with green mold growing on them. Scapegoat, care for a piece?
Yeah, I will. Just you go first.
We'll go at the same time.
No, go ahead.
Don't grab that silica packet because we don't want anything to happen.
That looks like it could be healthier.
Silica I'm
not,
packet?
Not going to lie.
Okay, you got a all good right. one? And OG, going to get a good one?
Yeah, man.
This does look like mold is growing on it.
Okay.
Just in case.
Good. Let's just, I'm sure it's made to look that way. I'm sure. Okay, so I don't have the advantage of being able to smell it.
It smells like beef jerky. It
smells like teriyaki beef jerky.
Yeah, it smells smoky.
And
smoky flavor.
It does have a... It looks like someone flocked it with cream.
It does look like flocked jerky.
All right, so are we ready?
It looks like tire treads.
A little bit.
Like someone ran over.
Are we going to do this?
Shit.
Yes, I'm ready. Then,
are we going to do this on three?
Yep.
All right. 1, 2, 3.
It's really
like,
quite fine.
Tastes like beef jerky.
Tastes like beef jerky.
Yeah, man.
I'd eat that whole package.
Then you can have it, sir.
Yes! Snack time!
So, ooh. Is it just like...
Oh. No, see?
What happened?
See? I got a big flocked bit there. What's... Beef jerky should not be fuzzy.
What do you think the fuzz is?
Beef jerky should not be fuzzy.
What's in a sealed package?
I think it's some feathers left over from the dragon's wings.
Yeah, I think it's the texture.
I don't know. It's weird.
Really, feathers and dragon's wings?
Yeah,
they're not feathers.
What is
nerd,
what is this, a raptor?
There are dragons with feathers.
Name one.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
What?
I don't think so.
The dinosaur dragon.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one.
That dragon also fell into a vat and became the Joker eventually.
There are
feathered dragons?
There are absolutely feathered dragons.
Have anything else on this beef jerky?
No. It was from Loot Crate.
It's rather...
It tastes like fuzzy beef jerky.
It's rather anticlimactic, isn't it?
Well, I think we all were afraid that the green might be...
And rightfully so!
You know.
It was terrifying.
Listen, here's the true test. If you wake up tomorrow morning... Mm-hmm. And episode 341 is not online. It's because I died in the studio for eating a bag of dragon jerky.
Yeah. If you tomorrow feel like you had to shit out a box, that's when we have to have a talk.
There's an odd like copper aftertaste to this. Do you taste that? That metal?
Copper. Hmm? And it was green. Hmm. Did we just eat copper dust? Is
that
what
so.
It was?
I think so. Nice.
Wow.
I'm worth a cent now.
It tastes like the can
no,
of
you're
anchovies.
Not.
Tastes like the can that anchovies come in.
Have you eaten the can that anchovies
nope,
come in?
No, that's what I imagine it to taste like.
He is a goat. All right.
You have, haven't you? Have you played my new game?
Listen.
Me Simulator? I made over $1 million.
Are you hard of hearing, both of you? Can you not hear the wrap up?
I hear it. I'm deciding how I feel about the jerky.
My ears are ringing from what I just ate.
Oh, I guess
what's happening right now.
I'm going to have a second piece. I'm going in for secondsies.
Whoa, wow. Don't have seconds until you tell everyone how they can check out the program.
Don't forget, you can check us out online each and every week over to BigKevsGeekStuff.com. I am choking a little bit. I might die. BigKevsGeekStuff.com. Of course, you can find us on Twitter at GeekStuffOG.
ScapegoatGS.
BK Geek Stuff.
Yay! Ha!
Well done.
Of course, you can find us on YouTube. You can find us on Facebook. Both of those are BK Geek Stuff as well. You can give us a call over at the GVM line.
425-920-6050.
Way to go.
And you may hear yourself on a future episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff. We are still taking donations for our New York Comic Con fundraiser, so please continue to do that. You do have until next Wednesday, I think we said, because our deadline is a mere day or two later.
Indeed it is.
So, yes, we would appreciate that. And I think that's all that I have.
Do I have the same feller to thank for these?
You do have the same feller to thank. Scott E.
I want to thank Scott E. He also sent me a couple of Joker products. One is a Joker minifigure from Monogram. The other is a Joker Bendy that I've actually never seen before. So, bravo on finding something I haven't seen.
We know when Jake
Croce,
though.
Do I?
The company? Yeah, we used to see them at Toy Fair all the time.
Oh.
I just want to say, actually, since we're talking about Scotty, quick congratulations. He got he proposed and got engaged out in San Diego, I believe.
Oh.
And I believe she said yes. So congratulations to the two of you.
Scotty doesn't know.
There you go.
What?
Nothing.
Oh, you mean I should end the episode?
Probably.
And OG, we will end this episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff the way we end all episodes, by saying, good night, Don Pardo. Wherever you are.
And on that note, we cue the music.
Live from New York,